We're back on The Hunt with Supernatural Season 7, Episode 7, The Mentalists. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. This is the show where Chris and I rewatch our favorite show, Supernatural. We break down the plot, topics, and themes of each episode and maybe even dig out details that you missed the first time around. Good to be back today, Chris, talking about psychics. It's been a while since we've covered quote-unquote psychics, I might say, Chris. I really like this episode, and I'm starting to wonder, is it because they don't even mention the word Leviathan? I think that's possible. I think that might be why I enjoyed this one a lot.
It's funny because I'm enjoying episodes of a season, some more than I thought, and some I'm wishing I enjoyed more. It's very much been a roller coaster ride. I think that's the best comparison I can make. And to that point, we've talked about what we think is the weakness of Leviathan. And I think you might be right, because I also enjoyed this. I thought this had a lot going on. I thought the characters were unique. There were definitely quirky ones in here, right? Mm-hmm. It reminded me of our episode, and the name is slipping my mind at the moment, but with our three magicians, right? And
yes.
It had that kind of just self-contained fun to it. This has that going on, and I'm taking that moment to enjoy that. In this one, by the way, it aired November 4th, 2011. Mike Roll is the director. IMDb rating was 7.9 on this. I would argue it should be in the eights, probably low eights maybe, but eights all the same. And we're dealing with basically a town of mediums. It's a psychic town, quote-unquote psychic town, I guess we should say. But it's fun. I think the word I used to describe this one, this was a fun watch, and definitely one that right up front I could say I highly recommend people check out. It falls into this, you know, this monster of a week category that I thought they executed pretty well.
Yeah, I've said this many times on the show, Chris, but there are two things that I like in a filler episode. Number one, it's got to be fun, right? It has to be. You have to justify the fact that it doesn't connect to the A plot that much. But the second thing is, it has to connect to the A plot in some way, right? We have to, even if it's just learning something about our main characters, Sam and Dean, it has to have some sort of like lesson or, you know, it has to be some kind of progression of Sam and Dean. I think we get both of those things in this episode. 7.9, that's a really low score. Mike Roll, we know he's been on the show before. I think he's a fantastic director, and I think he really nailed this episode. I also love the fact... Go ahead.
I have to ask you. Yeah. Part of your enjoyment of this is it the end of a certain storyline? Does that play into your enjoyment of this episode? Because we've been talking about how much we don't love that arc throughout these last few episodes. So gotta wonder if that plays a part for you.
You read my mind. Yeah, I was just going to say, outside of those two things, we're also like there's a moment between the brothers. There's closure, right? And throughout the episode, as we're going to cover, Chris, one of the things that we learn is that we're dealing with siblings in this one. And they're at a museum at some point, and they say, you know, sibling acts are tough because you grow up together. You have to work together. It's arguably harder than it would be to work with just, you know, a stranger or a friend. So yeah, the conversation at the end here certainly plays into my enjoyment of it, because technically I think this is the closure that we needed. I think I teased last week, Chris, that like we did kind of push that Kitsune storyline out, but this really is the moment where they make up and they decide to be back together again. But that's how we start the episode, Chris, which is that Sam and Dean have been apart for a week, right? Dean's walking around this town. He goes into a cafe and he runs into Sam. And it's really funny because they're in this like super hipster cafe. Dean doesn't want to be there. He's about to walk out the door, but then he sees Sam and he teases Sam about, oh, you know, you would be in this place, right? Like, this is the kind of place that you go to. I thought that was a great way for them to bump into each other again. But yeah, they've been apart for a while now.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you force them back together and you don't keep it. You don't have the separation through episodes, right? Which I like, because in the past they've done that.
Yep.
And it takes away from the show, in my opinion. You got to keep them together somehow, some way, or interconnect them in the actions they're taking, right? Right. In this, they immediately start comparing notes. Sam's essentially showing what's been happened and talking about how, well, Imelda Graven was killed first with this crystal ball. And here's all the different ways people are dying. And you already get the sense of this wackiness that's going to come in this episode of like, all right, like, are these mediums legit? Like, what's happening here? This, because it just sounds like, you know, like some cons might be happening here in this town. But they often with those, you know, are going to run into some legitimacy. And that's the piece I always enjoy is trying to figure out who's got the legitimate capabilities here and who's a potential ally, which they never end up keeping. One of my largest complaints on the show is they've meet these people throughout their journeys and they don't stay in touch with some of them. We always talk about season one, one of our favorite characters. So, you know, that is certainly, these characters are critically important to me in their abilities. And God, I wish they kept in touch with some of them.
Yeah.
But there's some characters in this one for sure. And they start to work this case together. And I think, you know, it's great. They're back. They're together. They're doing their thing. And I think when that happens, they see that this works. Like, we need to put aside, because right now there's way too much going on and we have to be together. And I think you know that before the end of the episode, which is kind of a nice thing. That conversation that we're talking about at the end, it's kind of a foregone conclusion by the middle of this episode for me that that's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. They struggle in this episode, right? Which proves that if Dean had taken it by himself, which was his plan, right? And Sam as well, if they had tried to take it on by themselves, they would have. So I think the writers did a good job of showing us that in the episode. They both had a hard time dealing with the monster of the week, right? Now, this episode, Chris, I think what I like about it, and they've done this before, Sam and Dean, like you said, they form some friendships, some allies, right, within the town. And then they think that they have a clue as to who it is, right? And I love when they do this, Chris. The boys, they think they have a lead in the town, right? They made some allies. They made some friends. They think they know what they're doing. But then they realize they're wrong, right? And the boys aren't wrong often. But when they are, they're really wrong. So in this case, they realize that one of the most famous sisters in the town might be behind this. However, they end up killing the wrong sister. And I love the plot point of that because it shows that they make mistakes. And once again, that they need each other, right? Sam needs Dean. Dean needs Sam. Because when things go wrong like this, they go really, really wrong. And this is a hard case for them, Chris, because as we get into the story, yes, they find out that they're wrong. They have to move on to the next suspect. But like the next suspect, her bones are missing. Like, it's not easy as they course correct. So I think the moral point of this story, like I said, it's that sibling acts are tough to follow, but also they need each other to get these jobs done because they run into roadblocks all the time.
Yeah. And I think the piece of this that I really enjoy is you've also got a really interesting kind of core character at the heart of this episode who is the, if I'm not mistaken, the granddaughter of this character, Grandma Goldie, who mm-hmm. had all these personal effects. I thought she was a really great character. She's one of those one-off characters that I really enjoyed. And yeah. She kept me interested in this episode. And some of these best episodes of these past two seasons in particular had one of those characters at the heart of it. And I like that, you know, in the end, this is a character who I found fascinating. I said, wow, I really like this person. They're interesting. And they make the scenes with the boys better. They play well off of them. Not everyone does that because I think you got Jared and Jensen who play so well off each other. It's probably hard to match up to that energy at a certain point, but this character in particular, this actor, I thought she did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. There's a lot of strong characters in this one. Can we talk about the museum curator for a second, Chris? Do you remember that guy? I forget his name, but I want to mention this moment because I had a sort of a question mark and I was wondering if you remember this, and if you don't, maybe we can go to Reddit or Threads where, you know, we hang out often. There's a moment where they're in the museum and they're doing the research and they're trying to figure out, you know, who might be behind these killings. And the curator grabs Dean's arm and he says, I have a message for you. Do you know an Eleanor or an Ellen? And Dean looks shocked, actually. I'm not even sure if he says anything. But the guy relays this message to him that, hey, you better get your shit together and talk to him, right? Essentially, like, Ellen from beyond is giving Dean a message saying, make up with your brother because you guys have shit to do. I have to ask you, do you recall this being mentioned again, explained? Because Dean doesn't actually say anything to Sam. He kind of just takes the hint and, like, rolls with it. But I'm wondering, do you remember if there's any explanation of this or exploration of this?
I don't know, because I was thinking about that, because I love that moment, because I loved, again, the idea of it. In this town of fakes, there was clearly real, powerful people, right? And trying to determine who those people were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, and I actually didn't remember that moment, and this was nice surprise for me.
Yeah. Because
it kind of falls under the radar amongst so much happening, because there's a lot happening in the episode. So that was really cool to me. I definitely enjoyed that. And the line exactly, because I would just wanted to pull it up. Curator says, I'm sorry, I don't really do this during business, but do you know an Eleanor or an Ellen? Dean scoffs. She seems concerned about you. She wants to tell you, pardon me, if you don't tell somehow how bad how bad it really is, she'll kick your ass from beyond. You have to trust someone again eventually. And that's one of the lines that the curator says. And the fact that Ellen from beyond is like, get it in gear, dude. It's such an Ellen thing. And clearly that curator has abilities, because that's Ellen. I mean, but I don't remember if it comes up again. And I'm going to be on the lookout for it. If this is a missed kind of opportunity, it's something I'm going to note, just because I thought that was cool. And this is, again, why some of these characters, I'm just like, man, why do we not, like, come back to this? You know, We've got characters we've left in the past, like the Antichrist and other ones that I can kind of be okay with and almost be like, okay, I get it. But, you know, some of these little one-off lines, I feel like there's, if we could do a mini arc around Dean killing someone and not telling Sam, we could do a mini arc around some of these other things. And we probably could have that more in the show, which would have made some of the other storylines that got old, like demons in suits, as we've talked about, and other stuff, a little more interesting.
Yeah, it really worked, right? Like, the inclusion of psychics in the world of Supernatural just makes sense. Speaking of that, Chris, we have a mention of Pamela. We have a mention of Missouri in this episode, which I love. I love that they just the name drop, right? Just like just a
I
cool moment.
Missouri. What a great character. And again, this is the fact that they did this episode. I think this is why I liked it so much. I mean, I'd bump this up to an 8.5 if I had a scale of the 1 to 10 that we normally do, just because they're referencing people who made an impact on the boys, which made me think that, hey, maybe they'll bring some of these people back because these other people were important. Or maybe the boys at this point say, we've got too many people killed, we don't want to. Maybe that's justification. We don't want anyone else killed on our watch. But it was really great to hear Missouri out of all of them. I love Pamela, do not get me wrong. I think she's phenomenal, and I don't think she could get, I think she should have lived longer, but man, Missouri was arguably one of my top 10 favorite side characters in this entire show.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go back to the spirit for a second, Chris, because yes, they get the wrong spirit, right? And the first clue is that as they're burning her bones, she's like begging them, like, please, no, you're making a mistake, right? Which is very odd for a spirit to do as you're salting their and burning their bones. But the boys don't really think anything of it, which I thought was strange. I thought Sam, at least, would be like, that was weird, right? It's only until one of their friends actually gets attacked again that they realize that, oh, shit, we got the wrong sister. And the other sister, I would say, is one of the scariest performances we've gotten of the season so far, Chris. I really miss the horror aspect of Supernatural, especially in this season. And I feel like performances like that will get us back to where we need to be.
I'd argue that's one of the best scary performances in the last few seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to even season five, there wasn't, it was so plot driven in season five. You didn't get as much there. I mean, tremendous performance. So I think this one has a lot of contenders for, you know, those best one-off characters. And I know we normally wouldn't include a ghost, but I mean, frightening, really a frightening spirit.
Yeah, there's a character named Jeffrey coming up, Chris, in this season, who I think will top her, but we'll save that performance, that discussion for that episode. Yes. Listen, I really like this episode. The ending is kind of obvious, right? They realize they messed up. They have to get the other sister. They burn the bones. Sam saves the day, right? It ends up being Jimmy, the guy that you know, they met earlier in the episode that was behind the whole thing. He was actually in conjunction with the other sister. They figure it out. What I want to get to, though, is that conversation at the end, which is Sam saying that he understands why Dean killed Amy, and he sort of forgives him, right? He doesn't forget. He's not going to forget it, but he forgives him. Yep. And it's a conversation that I think could have came sooner. I think we wasted a couple of episodes with this whole mini arc, especially the Osiris episode. My least favorite episode of the season so far. I don't know if I'll hate an episode more than that one, Chris, but it just goes to show that like these mini arcs have to, even though they're small, Chris, they have to be thought out carefully, because if they aren't, it can really jeopardize other aspects of the show, like the tier of a demigod like Osiris. Like they really threw the demigods under the bus at the expense of this mini arc. So I'm glad we're putting it to rest, so to speak, in this episode.
Yeah, and ultimately, like I said, I really enjoyed this. They're gonna eventually, you know, kill Jimmy, burn Margaret's bones. They save Sam saves Dean and Melanie. I like that Sam saves the day. I do like from time to time Sam. Probably two thirds of the time Dean saves the day, not Sam. But I do think it's great when Sam gets that. And of course, as you noted, Sam forgives Dean. And overall, really just enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed the character of Melanie a lot. I enjoyed the ghost. Those two stood out. Some of these psychics, I can't name one because they were all kind of entertaining in their own way, you know. And great overall episode for me. Really liked it. I think we're seeing that when the Leviathan are not involved, we're definitely liking it. I'm not going to sit here and say Leviathan are involved, I'm going to dislike the episode, because I don't think that's always going to be the case. But this episode has a lot of solid episodes buried in it. I am going to say right now is not the same quality of season 6.
No.
Right up front, that's very clear to me, because season 6 had a season 6 is not on my hate list. I can tell you that much. I really liked season 6 outside of the core challenges we've talked about in our recap. But the episode quality, top notch for me, for the most part. This one, hit or miss here or there, definitely been a roller coaster. This one was enjoyable. Definitely recommend a rewatch on this one and that people check it out. We got some good trivia in this one, though. So there's a few things here that I wanted to bring up. You've probably, I don't know if you watched The Mentalist, Dan, 2015, it was on. Mm-hmm. I never watched it. It is a crime show called the. So that was the show that was on in that time frame. This one I did pick up on, and I couldn't. I knew it was from something, and the trivia here confirms it. But the orb or that plot device for this episode was also a major plot device in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. So again, pulling from these worlds of inspiration for this show, and Supernatural does not exist without, I think, X-Files. Buffy might not exist without X-Files, and then Supernatural may not exist without some of those other things. So those connections are always great. The Good Graces restaurant also was a reused set from Wishful Thinking, which I probably, if I went back, would have picked up. If I had watched them back to back, I think I would have noticed. I don't always notice that. Sometimes they do the set changes really differently. I think this would have been a little bit more clear to me, because I don't think they used a ton of different angles compared to the past.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't catch it either, Chris. Two more. During the seance in the first scene, the woman asks if the dog Sadie is with her uncle. Apparently, that's the name of Jared Padalecki's dog, or it was at the time, which is a cool little reference there. And last one here, the two ghosts, the Fox sisters, they're apparently real people. And they sort of, you know, were the founders of America's spiritualist movement. So pretty cool. I like when they adapt real characters for fictional character. Certainly the detail is probably not true. They'll be covered in the episode, Chris, but I like nonetheless that we're including real people here.
Yes. And next week, Becky's back.
Oh.
I can sense everyone's excitement. Oh. Yeah, the next one, next week's episode, season 7, Time for a Wedding. We'll talk about it. I mean, I don't love Becky. Yeah, we do. That's what we do. Yeah. But the Becky character is one. I will get into this. It's an episode. I'll share more of my thoughts on it. This has some interesting moments in it, but ultimately very focused on Becky. And I don't love the Becky character. I think she has some purpose. Don't get me wrong, but we'll see where this one goes. It does have a first time director. So fun facts like that to talk about next week. And we'll continue forward. I could tell you soon we got an episode with the Jersey Devil. So that's the good thing for me. I've been looking forward to that one. I feel like since the beginning, because I love the lore of some of these monsters, and I knew Jersey Devil was within the first 7-8 seasons. So Jersey Devil's really soon. So we'll have next week's episode. And then after that, we're going to get to see the Jersey Devil. So a lot to look forward to. Other than that, Dan, I think that's it for this week, but we will be back because after all,
we've got work to do.